Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the brilliant podcast Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello, one and all. Continuing our celebration of five funny women for the month of June. Coming up in a bit, we've got Desiree Birch. Desiree Birch, absolutely first class, a very funny woman. Again, she's smashing it as well. And what we're doing, we're taking some of the episodes from Insane in the Membrane, and we're putting them out on the Insane in the Membrane channels, because we're worried that a lot of you have missed a lot of these episodes, and they're brilliant, and we need you to get them in your ears. They're first class. So that's what we're doing. We're celebrating five funny women throughout June, and Desiree Birch is one of the funniest women I've ever met. This episode is hilarious. It just tells us a story of when she's sleeping with a guy who ended up gifting her something that I don't know. What a generous man. And that's not me being sarcastic either. I would have paid for an Uber, but you know, this guy went one better. It's a brilliant chat with a brilliant woman. So, celebrating five funny women, coming up in a minute, is Desiree Birch.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the Membrane.
It takes a certain kind of person to be in a relationship with someone who's quiet, who's larger than life, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Because I know my dad. I love my dad. But he struggles with strong women.
A lot of men do.
But I didn't even realize that. I'm just attracted to women that don't take any shit, which is good because I will take the piss if you let me, not on purpose, but subconsciously. I won't even know I'm doing it, but I'll kind
well,
of
I mean,
push the boundaries.
Of, yeah. Is that a like contrarian nature that comes with being a comic or somebody who kind of pushes society's buttons, or is that just particular to you? You know, like I feel like a lot of us are kind of naturally contrary or, you know, push buttons in certain avenues. I'm curious, was your mom a strong woman or no? like what you, I mean, obviously she's a mother, yeah. so there's a certain amount of strength that comes with that. But like, of would course, you say that yeah. she was a sort of brassy type, or was she the opposite? You know,
no, not really. I mean, she had a full-time job. She was mostly doing nights, but then she'd make sure mm-hmm. that the house was dealt with. You know, it was like an old-fashioned kind mm-hmm. of relationship. So she wasn't a wallflower, but at the same time, she wasn't like Jade or yourself, where, you know, that's, because sometimes I have to say to Jade, can you fucking bring it in a little bit? You know, I get it, but sometimes and well, she's like, guess, and what? And I'm like, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, the sort of what you've said about being attracted to women who don't take any shit, basically, I mean, is I think that is predicated on a woman who is necessarily received a lot of shit. So like, do you feel like what you're attracted to is someone who has kind of faced struggle and surmounted it, you know? Not that all humans don't face struggle, but some of us face a lot more of it than others. Mm. And those of us who survive that tend to have to come out stronger as a result, if we're going to come out, you know, or a little bit more like on the defense or even on the offense as a form of defense, right? So yes. which is kind of what you're talking about. And do you think it's that set of experiences that are kind of indicative of someone's personality that you are drawn to?
I think people seem to have gone, people that I've been in relationships with have gone through certain amount of trouble and strife in their life, and that's made them who they are. But I'm not attracted to them because they've gone through that shit. I'm attracted to the person that lived through that shit and went, well, I won't be taking that anymore. And kind of, do you know what I mean? And that's,
a lot of people go through shit and sort of kind of walk around of, you know, well, I'm constantly suffering with these things. Like there's some people who find their identities in sort of suffering or being underneath it, you know, and there's some people who find their identities in, like, you know, I mean, I guess it's arguable how much living in reaction to something means that you're free from it, you know, because ultimately a lot of times you see monsters where they're just sort of shadows. You know, a lot of times I think when you've been through things, you are extra on the offense about things. Yes. And so, you know, you can kind of hyper react to things, but it's simply because you're like, that's the seed that grows into something horrible. And I've seen that horrible thing, you know, and like no one's coming to my rescue. And it's great when you finally get into a relationship with someone who is like, I would like to try to come to your rescue sometimes, you know, and trying to be able to make room for that is difficult, you know, just to make room for yourself to be like, to like feel the hurt of something and have someone be like, I see that and I want to help or protect you or do something about it, as opposed to you doing it for yourself all of the time.
Yes. I want you to trust that I'm going to be there if shit happens. You don't have to, you don't have to feel like you know, because sometimes Jade will let things fester, you know, she won't be dealing with stuff. And I'm like, what, something's going on, what's going on? You know, and then it takes us to have an argument for her to say, look, I'm really stressed out about this thing, but I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know. And I'm like, you don't have to deal with it on your own. You can tell me, you know, and then, because, you know, that sort of thing. I think we do have that relationship where Jade does trust me enough to know that if the shit really hit the fan, I'd be there. She doesn't have to do it all on her own, but every now and again it
takes
it builds
a lifetime
up,
you know? Of undoing that kind of, you know, if you learn from a very young age that like no one's coming, you know, which many of us do, it's just like no one's coming for you, you know, so now what? It's really hard. Like it does take an act, you know, an active choice each and every time to not do the things where you kind of let things fester, hold on to them inside, because the overwhelming message you got is no one's coming. You have to deal with this on your own, even if you find it impossible to deal with and don't know how to deal with it. You at least have to pretend that you do, so that nobody like attacks you while they see that you're down. And, you know, like just the mentality and the gymnastics that you go through mentally about what that means. Like so much of it is about where you were as a kid and what those monsters then became. Came that like never went away, and that you knew that like there was no one who was going to come and turn on the light if you cried. Yes. So, you know, I mean, not to say like, oh, I didn't have parents, like I did, but you know, a lot of us have the kind of parents who are working all the time, who have all of their own problems, who don't necessarily see those inner emotional lives and traumas and issues as being real or substantive, because they aren't, you know, like the electricity bill or the mortgage, you know, or the things that are material. And so, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff gets devalued, and it, you know, it doesn't leave you.
No, No. And these are the conversations we've been having lately, which and it's kind of why this this podcast started, because I thought I understood women to a certain extent, but then the more conversations I was having with Jade and everybody, the more I was like, I don't know as much as I thought I did. So what we decided with this was like, right, let's start from the beginning. Let's ask the questions, and some of them will seem obvious, like stuff like you should know about this, and you go, well, actually, yeah, but I didn't. You know, just things where you're doing your bit, and you're trying to improve all the time, and you're trying to be a better person, and then other things will sort of slip your mind. You kind of like, you know, you're like, oh shit, yeah, I probably should have known about that, and I didn't. You know,
yeah. But
it's just, it's not because I'm a bad person. It's like I think that's
great. Yeah. That's way better than doing the assumption thing that most people do. Because I think a lot of people, whatever issues you're talking about, believe that empathy is enough, you know, sympathy or even empathy. Like empathy isn't necessarily enough, because putting yourself in somebody else's shoes can only kind of be successful to the extent of you kind of knowing yourself. Like, I mean, we like to think, oh, people are all the same, which, you know, it has a profound truth to it. But the opposite, the complete contrary is also true, is that people are actually very, very different, you know, and you putting yourself into their shoes will only take you as far as you've been, you know, and as far as the reaches of your imagination and your experience. Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you do have to sit in that discomfort and the awkwardness and the just sort of, actually, I don't know, is a beautiful place to begin anything. Yeah. As opposed to like, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen everything, you know, like you just haven't. And just being like, I actually don't know, and I'm genuinely curious, is a much better place, because you have less bullshit to work through that you've placed in front of seeing the truth, you know?
Yeah, that is pushing that assumption to, you know, like people, or pretending that you know more than you do, and then you don't get anywhere. You don't fucking get anywhere doing that. And so I've had conversations on here about, we spoke to Lizzie Basham, and we were talking about periods, and not in a, women only want to talk about that, but it's like, I mean,
but women sometimes want to talk about it, because we've never been able to talk about it, you know?
Because I don't know what it feels like, and I will never know what it feels like.
It sucks, man. And
cool, yeah, man. Listen, I've been on the outside.
It doesn't all suck, but it mostly sucks. Like, there's plenty of it that sucks. I mean, this was not the question you were going to ask me, but I'm just going to say something about it, in that, like, I don't utterly hate my period. Like, I like having a cycle. I feel like it's a natural thing. I feel like, you know, why wouldn't the moon have an effect on all the water in my body and all the tides ebbing and flowing? Like, why wouldn't I be part of the natural ebb and flow of everything in the universe? Like, I mean, especially because of hormones and whatever, like, I'm extra hot to people when I'm bleeding. It's the weirdest thing, but it's like, men can smell it and they just look at you. And it's like weird, because like you've obviously, like, part of it is that like testosterone builds to like shed off all the lining. So it's like, are they just smelling themselves? But like, whatever it is, like, they're just like, hey, you know, and you're like, I mean, if you knew I was gushing like a stuck pig, you'd probably run. But the fact that like this is when you're giving me the most attention is hilarious and amazing to me, you know. But like, also there are parts of it where you're just like, this is just pain. And I basically just feel like everything aches, and I have to take a shit for 2 days, and I can't take a shit for 2 days. So this is terrible. That's how I describe those worst parts, where you're just like, but I need to get it out. And it's like, nothing's coming. That's it. And then everyone's like, what's the problem? And you're like, literally anything else I have to do but focus on this pain.
Yeah. But that's it. And this is the thing that men don't, we take the piss and we're like, oh yeah, you know, she bleeds this and does that, and she's a monster and blah, 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 whatever. But we don't actually, like, I for the first time ever understood exactly what it means to have a period. It's not just bleeding. Like you say, it's the pain, it's the discomfort. It affects other things. It's not just, and it's that. I was like, oh, of course. Yeah. And it gave me a better understanding of what happens. Cause, you know, like Jade will kick off and I'll be like, right, I'm going to go and stay in the bedroom for a week just until this calms down.
Yeah. Just a week long vacation every month. But it's kind of that, like, everybody has hormones. So like, I mean, if you've ever struggled with any kind of mental illness or whatever, anxiety, depression, like, you know how much of your body is simply a chemistry set. And like, because, you know, like, because you know that, oh, if if I take these meds or if whatever, suddenly all of those things that felt impossible and all of this world that felt dark and bleak suddenly feels navigable. And it really had to do with levels of a chemical inside of my brain, right? Yeah. You know, and so much of that is fluctuating when you are going through, you know, your cycle and whatever. And like, it is a similar thing of being like, if you were asking a depressed person to do something, you know, and they were doing it and they're going through the motions and they were bitter and angry and whatever, and you'd be like, oh, they're depressed. But like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, you can't just say I'm on my period and have enough people kind of understand or respect that like, oh, you're working in spite of some other things. And like your chemistry is doing a different thing than it does the other majority of the month. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like the rest of the time you're like this. And right now it's kind of like, oh yeah, you're going through a thing, but you showed up anyway, you know, kudos.
Yeah.
Like
I'll back off
a bit, you know, let us know if you need anything. But you know, other than that, like no one can help you.
No, we just slide your stuff under the door so you can't come out.
Pretty much, you know, and then you just hear the sound of like wild wolves and animals just like gnashing and throwing things about you. Like, yeah, that's about right.
But it was that I didn't really understand about that. And so this is where these conversations, this is where that's sort of the jumping off point for this podcast and that, and talking to women like larger than life characters, people that despite all the odds have still gotten through and achieved a level of success that, you know, other people can't really get to. And it's always fascinated me that women like that, especially because in comedy, when I started out, they'd have one woman on at a time and she would go on in the middle and it would be the girl's spot. And so it was
Shouldn't we have a lady, you guys? Come on, let's get a lady up here.
Yeah. So it was all that. And I remember, and that's only 15 years ago that it was like that. It was changing.
I mean,
but
depending
not enough,
on where you are. I would say even more recently in some places.
Oh, fuck yeah. I know. Yeah. So it's always fascinated me that despite all that, there's women that have gone, you won't fucking beat me. And we'll get like, because you're busy as fuck. Aren't you? Yeah. You're everywhere at the minute. And that is incredible. And I look at it and I'm like, fuck me, man. It takes some doing considering all the obstacles that get put in your way. You know,
it's true. But it also takes like a certain mental configuration. Like, I mean, most of those women don't stop. Lots of people stop doing comedy, but the women who don't usually don't stop for the same reason that all the people who don't stop. Mm. You know, it's what we do is a compulsion. Like, we wouldn't do it if we didn't need to do it. There's enough things that are just like just fakakta about the entire enterprise that would make us stop if we had all of our marbles. But because, you know, we are the kind of people who need this validation and need this kind of expression and need this modality to process what we live, you know, and to be creative, because when we aren't creating, you know, we get all sick and twisted up, right? Because we need to do this, we keep doing this, you know, and obviously there are different ways, you know, a lot of people switch to like writing and get those kinds of jobs and whatever, you know, you can apply those skills in a way that doesn't, you know, need the immediacy of like going onto stage every night or however frequently you do it and having an audience respond to you. Like, there are times when I'm just like, am I this needy? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like sometimes where you're like, okay, yeah. And like, I'm really excited. And I love the joy of feeling like a little squirrel, like, ooh, I've got this nut I'm going to share with everybody. It's going to be so good, you know? And like, and then there are times where I think all of us are like backstage, you're about to go on stage and you're like, hello, darkness, my old friend. You know, where it's like, what am I doing? Why? Basically, my job is to keep these drunk people from stabbing each other in the eyeballs and then fucking each other in the sockets. Like, you know, like that's all, like, you know, I mean, I definitely this lockdown has made us kind of question the utility and the need for everything that we do. I think, you know, probably at some point.
It's definitely shone a light on how not important what we do is. I mean, it's important to a certain extent. Everybody needs a jester at some point, but when the shit hits the fan, the last thing that people need is us going, hey. we run out of toilet roll, but guess what? I've got a hot take on this. You're gonna like this.
Yeah, maybe you can wipe your ass with this hot take. I mean, it's weird because so much of our job, I think, can be conflated with you know, political commentary and all these other things. Like sometimes the things that you're doing are stand up, and sometimes the things that you're doing are just being asked to be funny about things that are like, you know, profoundly not. Right. So, and then it's weird because then people get super upset about what comics say. And like, there is a truth in like being responsible for your words. And then there's also a truth of like, this is comedy, you know? I mean, like someone is going to get the piss taken out of them. You know, I'm going to try to be fair, enlightened, woke, whatever it is that you want to say. But at the same time, like I have a point of view and this is it, you know? And basically you vote to agree with your applause and laughter or not. And there's got to be some understanding of like, this is us trying something out. Oh, it didn't work. Cool. Could I maybe not have my life ruined, I suppose, you know? And I mean, obviously there's gradations of that because some people are toxic and you're like, yeah, but it's just weird the amount of stuff that I find that I do that is like, wait a second, I'm doing this thing and I'm taking these things seriously in a way that like our government and elected officials aren't. Like they're actually taking the piss. Like how did we adjust the whole world so that we're looking at comedians and their beliefs and takes as like, you know, we need to really address this. Whereas like all of the people in government can just do whatever the fuck that they want because it doesn't matter because there's money behind them. It's just a weird setup.
It goes to show you how well that they've done at skewing society. Like politicians have really done a good job on being able to get away with fucking murder, but one of us tweets something that's a little bit off or people don't quite get it, cancelled, unfollowed, you know that.
Yeah, exactly. You're not getting work anymore from like the gatekeepers who are actually doing sinister shit at all times. Like when you said like getting away with murder, that's not even a figure of speech anymore.
Literal murder.
You know what I mean?
Literal. I mean, like, Epstein got, and they're going, he slipped and fell and ended up hanging himself from the roof.
Yeah, go, right.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah. Like all these black people in America who committed suicide under trees recently.
I couldn't believe that. I was reading that.
Because
like,
any black person
fucking
has ever committed suicide with a noose under a tree.
Are we really
looking at that and taking that at face value? Or, I mean, you know, Boris is over here transporting patients into care homes who haven't gotten COVID tests. Like, I mean, that's manslaughter. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to, and it's just, you know, I don't know. Like, I know that we're all kind of nonplussed at this point by everything that happens because it's just an onslaught, you know, and it's also like, you know, how much can we do to fix it when we're not the ones who are making it happen, you know? I mean, obviously these people have been elected. And so like that is the part of our jobs and holding them to account. But also, I don't know, the damn thing just got too big and we're not at the reins. So I'm not sure.
It always comes back to the same thing, and it always comes back to the fact it's the system that's fucked. And I've said this many times. We've kind of joked about it, but we kind of mean what we say. When the world is run by five white old racist paedophiles, and while all the while they're still in charge, everything just will still be fucked. And it all, like, looking at this, you know, there was that block party in Brixton last night that got out of hand, and people are going, it's outrageous. They're going, it's outrageous. These yobs, these thugs. You're like, no. Why are people that quick to explode in that way? Because the system's fucked and these people are tired of getting fucked by the system. That's why we're all kicking off. And it's all very well
they're
saying,
tired of not having a right to like their own bodies or anything else that they were told that they were going to get, you know. It's just, and it's like weird because you know, we talk about those like five old white guys who are, you know, pedophiles in power who are, you know, doing all the, and it's kind of a weird, like all of that comes from fear. Like they're like, you've got enough power and you need more, and then you need more, and then you need more. Like, why do you need that? Right. So it's like whatever's going on in there is just as sick and twisted that needs that much, because like we've seen examples of people who are extremely rich who don't need to do those things, who don't feel threatened about like, well, I have billions, which means I'm never going to be in trouble, nor any of my offspring that I can actually look in the face are ever going to be in trouble. Right. So I can, you know, but it takes a different different kind of megalomaniac, a different kind of psychopath or sociopath at the very least, to kind of be, you know, to live in this constant fear that requires them to rely on these systems of oppression to extract things from other people that they feel that they need and that there is never enough. Yeah. You know, like that is a sort of human condition that I think we sort of ascribe to people who are like super, you know, they just, you were born into it or they were born that way or whatever. But like, I think also it's important to look at sort of the psychology and the sociology behind like what, how we make people that into that and how we make everybody else covet that. Cause it's like so many other people, if they were given the chance, would get into similar positions and then finding themselves doing the exact same thing because of the power that they wielded and because of their fear of losing that power once they knew what it allowed them to do, you know, and
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, but it's true. All the while that's in place and that people are still told that is something to aspire to, you know, you're never going to change anything. And you can look at it and I get really frustrated and just go, how can we get through this? What can we do to make changes? And it's just keep making noise. Just keep doing what you can. You know, you can't change. You won't be able to topple the 5 racist paedophiles from power, but you can start. You can vote and you can do stuff and I don't, you know, it's...
I think the things that make, you know, tectonic monumental shifts require a violence of some sort. And I'm not inciting or advocating like a physical thing. I'm just saying like there is a violent change. Like we know this on an individual level, like when changes happen that are actually lasting and meaningful, they are quite abrupt, violent, you know, earth shattering, everything shifts, you know?
Yeah.
And so yes, we do need to continue like kind of doing the drip, drip, drip of all of us sort of boring away at the problem, but also like, I don't think that we see anything really shift unless there's something massive. And I don't know what that is. I mean, it seems like everything we've seen this year has just been massive. Like I keep just saying, like, I guess 2020 nickname is the purge, because literally from like every, you know, whether that's like actually like physical or physiological or psychological or emotional or whatever, I feel like that's all I've been doing and seeing, you know, and it's kind of what like society, the economy, the earth are all doing too. It's just like, nah, we just got to get rid of a bunch of stuff. Like this is basically day one of the world's period. And it just feels like you have to take a shit all day and you can't, and you're really trying and everything hurts. And people are like, how come, why aren't you acting the way that you were acting before? And just like, that is no longer possible.
It's true.
The dream is dead. Yeah. Yes.
And it's like, and the world has been going, look, I'm telling you, you need to sort this out because I'm going to lose my fucking temper in a minute. And then and then the world went, right, fuck you. You didn't listen. Right. This is happening now. And it's going to cost people's lives. And it's going to do this because you lot don't know how to sort yourselves out. You know, oh, God. Yeah. And then you think, we're all in this together. We all want to make changes. We all want the world to be a better place. And then you see shit like people now going to the beach, not giving a fuck about social distancing.
Yeah.
Infuriating. And these are the same people that are shouting and screaming about All Lives Matter. You're like, what? Fuck me. You see that and you go, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, all lives matter, but like yours more than everyone else's. Like, because it's one of those things where it's like, this was meant to be a great equalizer, except for we're shoving the most vulnerable people up against the fire first. And we're just working through the groups of the most vulnerable people until presumably all of those are gone. And we just keep working up until there's like one old white dude with a big red tie who's standing there on top, you know, because that's the way things have been structured for him to do that, you know.
Yes.
and like that's I think the part that, you know, that is the most upsetting. Like it is upsetting to have a global pandemic just sort of randomly taking people and having it be like, why is this happening and we don't understand, and that is horrific and horrendous. And it's another thing for all of those old power structures to come into play and to start sort of sorting who gets thrown into the chopper first, basically.
The
part that I think is so just gut-wrenching and, I don't know, horrendous.
Oh, man. And I just see it and I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, there are more people thinking that way than there are people, it seems, that actually want to make change for the better of everybody. you know? And it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've all been taught that, like, you know, there's only so much. And if I want what I want, it means that I'm going to have to step on someone's face to get it. Like, we don't come from a sense of like, there is enough for all of us in the world. I think we were all born into a thing of like, well, there are the haves and the have nots. And I guess if you're British, it's kind of like, well, you're a have not. You're always going to be a have not. So whatever. And if you're American, it's like, oh, if you work really, really hard, you can be the asshole on top. Right. And so nobody ever gave you anything and nothing matters. But like, either way, the narrative is there isn't enough to go around for everyone to have a happy, decent human existence. Yeah. So there's just the way things are. You can't really change them, but you can maybe capitalize on them if you're the right kind of person.
Yeah. Emphasis on that last bit. In our industry, they talk about, they're talking about diversity and they go, oh, we must make changes and we need to be more diverse. And then you're like, yeah, but you should have been doing this years ago.
You don't want to make the changes that are necessary, because the changes mean that all you and all of your friends don't have your jobs.
Exactly. Like,
some of those people need to not be your friends. You know what I mean? In terms of like, some of those people need to have come from a different background, not look like you, not commission the same stuff as you, not be, you know what I mean? In order for this to work.
Yeah. And they don't like, go to they don't even go like, I've said this many times, but there's a whole circuit, like the black circuit of thousands of brilliant acts that don't get a look in because the industry doesn't go there. They don't go to look. They go, oh, who went through, no disrespect to anyone that has been through Oxford or Cambridge or wherever, but they're more likely to go for someone that has gone through a system that they recognize rather
who's more
than
like them, right?
Yes,
like
exactly.
I understand that language that they're speaking because they've learned to speak my language, right? So that's great. And we'll continue on with that. Yeah, like there's so many, and it's a weird thing, especially like as a black person who does not do the black circuit, you know, because it's not by a choice. That's not the, you know, that's not the broad appeal I probably have, you know. It's not the where I came up as a comic, and it's weird because it's kind of like the times where I have done those gigs, it is a whole different world of audience members, you know, like it's like you're whatever, you're in Birmingham, you know, there's 400 like black and Asian people like watching, you know, a set that you're doing, and you're kind of like, and even the nuances of performance style and what is valued are different, you know, where it's like, okay, this is going to be more performative as opposed to more clever, you know, and there isn't one that's right or wrong. There's like an audience that likes to be spoken to in a certain way or feels respected if they are, you know, addressed or engaged in a certain way. And it's interesting when you're kind of like, oh, I'm like, my clever muscle got strong, but like, is my, you know, performativity, relatability muscle strong enough, you know? And I go and do those gigs, and it's cool because like people do get on board, but they're kind of like, oh yeah, she's one of them. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, she's one of those, you know, whatever Oxbridge type of black ladies or whatever. And you're kind of like, okay. But then they get on board and they're like, okay, that's pretty funny. But it always feels like this weird confrontation of me trying to justify my own blackness to myself and all of them because of what we have attributed to certain cultures and groups of people, which and what we then sort of use, you know, internalize to identify ourselves as well. Do you know what I mean? Like no amount of me like performing and telling jokes a certain way, talking a certain way is going to change the percentage of African in my DNA. Do you know what I mean? So like, obviously blackness and whiteness is our concept of it are based on different things than science, because you know, science is pretty much like, there's really no difference, guys. You know what I mean? Some people spark in the sun, some people tan. Like there's, you know, it's usually about where your ancestors live. Like, why are we, you know, but like in reality and, you know, society, there's all these differences that we really adhere to, you know?
Yeah. And it does blow my mind when I keep seeing like the All Lives Matter thing. And I'm not going to get stuck talking about race all afternoon, but
it's infuriating every damn time.
And you're like, you're not listening to what's been said, you know, and because they don't like, they don't want to, do they? They want to be full
of course not
anger and hatred and Yeah.
I mean, they want to preserve their own identities of being right. They still want to think that racism has anything to do with being a good person. And they still want to believe that being a good person is a real fucking thing. And it's not. No. Like how we all grow up believing like there are good people and bad people. And it's bullshit. Like we're all bad people and we're all good people.
Yes.
And it's really not about any intention. And it's about how we act. Right. And every single present moment is a new opportunity to be good or be bad. You know what I mean? But like, I think people like to just be like, I found my identity. I'm sticking here. I'm not changing. And any action that I do still falls under the same umbrella of this identity that I decided that I have, rather than people are dynamic and fluid and changing beings.
Yes.
And you might be doing a lot of bad actions or actions that have bad consequences while calling yourself a wonderful person because like your family likes you or whatever. Like when people go like, I think it's about being a good person. I'm like, I think that's bullshit. Like I think most people who think they're good people actually aren't doing fucking shit.
No,
they're just
not.
Like being nice
and
docile. You know what I mean? Like how is that good?
And these are the same people that seem to be the same people. I'm just talk about stereotypes, but you know, these are the same people that give Jade shit for her size or what she's wearing on the train. You know, these are the same fucking people, and they go, oh, he's a good dad. No, he's a cunt to everyone else. Why is that?
Exactly. Why is he a good dad? Because he's there. Do you know what I mean? Whatever, because he's there and he has like a job similar to yours and he's white and you hang out with him down the pub and that's it. Like, you know, I thought the whole sort of, you know, obviously Jade and I have talked about all of the like being big broads and doing comedy and all the stuff that you get unsolicited from people who feel compelled to just sort of vomit out opinions and words and things that they need to lay on your body as opposed to theirs. And that you have to recall or remember that that's their shit. But at the same time, why this general acceptance that you have to wear their shit, you know,
and
that people just kind of feel like you aren't conforming to the social norms that we've relegated you to. And I need to make sure that you know you stepped out of your place and you should get back into it. And it's kind of like, why are you jealous? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why don't be jealous of my boogie? Like, ultimately, like, you're living small, you know, like, you're living restrained and you are, like, raging that I have opted not to do that. And part of the reason that I've opted not to do that is because I couldn't fit into that life. Like, no one would let me live as long as I was trying to cram myself into that way of being. So I decided that I was going to live over pleasing you or being in that, you know, living in that modality of being. And so I'm doing things a different way. And it makes you insane because it's kind of like, well, I didn't have a choice, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like,
but
you kind of did.
But you
always,
did. Yeah.
You know,
And these same people, when they talk to me, I've had it before when they'll talk about types like what you're into, and they'll go oh, well, Rich likes him big, you know, almost like it's a fetish, and it's like, hold on, that's not what attracts me to people. I'm attracted to people that and they're all different shapes, sizes, whatever, and but because I like them, I don't like to be around people that are obsessed with the gym. And I don't want to be around people that are obsessed with nutrition, because that's all they fucking talk about. And I want someone who's a bit more chilled out about life in general.
Well, all that obsession does is sort of belie the fear of like, you know, yes, it's important to be like, I want to put healthy things into my body because that's good. You know, when you're operating in a good mental space, that's kind of what you want to do most of the time. Sometimes you're like, I want to put sugar in my body because they made this shit super addictive and it's delicious. Yeah. Right. But I think it's the people, like you're saying, like the sort of surface level obsessed with the gym and obsessed with nutrition, underneath that belie like a judgment, like a ferocious self-judgment and belief in self-control and restraint and ferocious judgment of other people that like exists within them. And you're like, I don't like, that's going to be hard to like be intimate with. That's going to be hard to open up to, because like, one, you're going to be violent toward me emotionally, and which means I know how violent you are to yourself, which means like, I can't like help you or love you or make you ever believe that I really, you know, am there for you or whatever. And you're like, that's just a lot to fight for to love a person. Like, I'd much rather, you know, like that whole thing of like having a type, like, you know, some of it's just going to be chemistry. Like my type is beardy bald dudes. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I've only recently noticed that. And it's just like, I wouldn't say like it's an active thing. It's just a pattern. Every, you know, part of that's like, well, you know, my dad was one. Part of it, you know, is oh, like there's a certain, like, you know, who doesn't like testosterone? That's usually what balding's indicative of. And I'm here for it. Part of it is, you know, just a sort of like, you know, a general mindset that comes with that sort of like, here's how I am. I've had to accept myself, you know, flaws and all, which is something that I'm attracted to because I've had to do the same. Like we already have a head start in doing this work together, right? As opposed to someone who is like, you know, in the process of like, you know, having been stunning and then being like, I'm not hot anymore because I'm old and I don't know who I am. And it's like, oh, fuck, babe. Like, you know, I'm 10 years ahead of that. Like, come on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have time to wait for you to figure that out. Like, you know, find another formerly hot person or whatever. But, you know? Like, I think that a lot of times we see the surface level of something go like, oh, it's a fetish or a type, as opposed to seeing what usually lays underneath that, you know, because every so often you find somebody who's who has those personality traits who doesn't look like that, who has a different set of experiences that led them there. And you're like, cool, you know, I'm also attracted to that person, too. But normally, socially, they tend to look like this, which is great. Just saying, fat bitches are cool.
Yeah, I've always
like we're highly capable.
Yeah,
I mean we're fucking good in bed because unlike hot chicks, we gotta try. So like, you know, I'm just saying, there's a lot going on. People don't see.
I've definitely had a good time. I'm not gonna lie.
It's been a good time.
See? I've had a good time. Yeah.
And people don't know why you just sit there and smile and laugh. And you're like, I don't need to fucking know. This is good.
Nah. But it's funny. We were, because Jade and I were out the other day and I saw, I see this quite a bit. There was an older couple and she looked great. She had this, it looked like they're only walking the dog. But she looked great and she had these accessories going on and she looked, really, really made an effort. And then he was just wearing this shitty old shirt and a pair of shorts. And I was like, that's the guy that goes, yeah, she doesn't fuck me anymore. I don't know what's wrong with her. Goes, you're a fucking pig.
Yeah, because, generally stopped caring, you know?
Yeah.
I think that effort feels like a superficial thing, but underneath that, again, is usually like, oh, because you're depressed and you probably, your sex drive is really diminished anyway. So, like, you are pointing the finger at other people when you actually don't want to deal with what's going on with you, you know? And that clearly this is indicative of inner turmoil that you aren't dealing with. And so, like, yeah, maybe she doesn't sleep with you because, like, it's not fun for her to do all the work and you not be giving anything or being vulnerable or open or intimate at all, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and maybe she's working really hard. Do you know what I mean? You can too.
yeah, exactly. But it is funny, like I said to you about when Jade and I are, there have been comments online, people who take the piss and like, you know, they, like I say,
people.
People
are trash.
They are. But talking to me, like I'm weird. Like, they go, oh, yeah, because you like them big. And you're like, one, that's offensive. Two, go fuck yourself because you like the little petite blonde who's got nothing to say.
It doesn't make you right. It just makes you like a conformist, sad person who's looking for a trophy human to show the world that you have value.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in my mind, when I see you guys, I'm like, oh my God, comedy power couple. This is fucking, you know what I mean? Just the fact that, like, you're both successful, outspoken, like, creative, intelligent people who are, like, publicly engaged. I'm like, that's dope. Like, that's really cool. Like, we should be looking to you as, like, look, two comedians can be in a relationship and not have it be a fucked up, toxic, horrible thing.
Well, I mean, we are having.
Well,
you're having couples counseling. I don't know.
But I mean, I think that all couples at some point have couples counseling. Yeah. Every couple I know that's been together for a certain number of years that is still together, for the most part, has couples counseling.
Yeah.
Because there's just stuff that you need help working out, you know?
Well, like Jade pointed out, she's like, you know, at the beginning of the relationship, you pretend to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And then a couple of years in, all that stuff's gone. And you're like, I wasn't really into that. I just said that so that we'd get to be together. And now we're together. I'm not into that. And I'm like, we're going to need to go to couples counseling now because I need to. Yeah. That's what happens, isn't it? You've
you're now coping yes. with the reality of
yes,
the,
you're coping with the lies that you told. I mean, that weren't fully lies, but they were just like, at my best, I am this. Like, at my best, I want to give you head every night. In reality, and also I think everybody, you know, like you have your individual problems that will come into the relationship. So it's like, you know, you're doing therapy for three. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like for the couple, the unit, and also individually you have changed on your own and in with and because of each other. So it's like even more complicated than it would just be on your own, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And now it's figuring out that, all right, a lot of that stuff was fabricated at the top there, but now is there enough to still be in, is there enough of the real stuff to keep us interested in each other? And that's I think there is. We're working it out.
Whatever. I think that it sounds like you're being communicative and honest, which is the most important thing. So it's like, I might not smell like jasmine perfume every day anymore. I was just doing that to like impress you and because I didn't want you to see the real thing because I was afraid if you saw me, you would never actually love me. And then you're like, well, that sounds like a problem for therapy. Plus all the shit you bring to the relationship. It's like, yep.
Yeah. It's hard being. I think if we get to the understanding that being a human being is fucking weird, we figure out a lot more stuff, you know.
Yeah, and also society is weird. Like if you didn't feel fucked up about the world as it is now, you're fucked up. Like the world is I think an even more extraordinarily fucked up place than it has been in other parts of history. Maybe not all of them. There've been plenty of fucked up things, but it's like, if you didn't react to that, it's like, you're basically swimming in bleach. Like if you didn't have an adverse reaction, I'd worry that you were dead. You know,
we're talking now about a lot of men are being outed, for being sexual predators and that sort of thing, but what we need to, I've said this a few times now, I think what we need to understand is that all men, all of us, and I include myself in this, have the potential to do something sexually, to be sex offenders, because we have in us, we have thoughts every minute of every day that pop into our heads, and then we deal with them. It's like, and they're like, oh, she's nice. Yep. But you can't, don't grab her. You need to talk to her. That's all men across, but we're not having that conversation. We're just, you know.
I think everyone's afraid to kind of come out and be like, some of this is literally what testosterone does to the brain.
Yeah.
And some of this is how we've been socialized, because there was a time at which you had the thought, and then it was like, oh, you mean I can just grab her? And everyone in the world was like, yeah, sure, cool. Yeah, just grab her. Grab a couple. Right? And then suddenly it was like, I'm having a thought. I can grab her. And everyone's like, what? No. You know? Yeah. And you're like, wait, when was someone going to tell me? You know? And it's kind of like, obviously, like society and culture and the changing tide should tell you. But like some people live in rural roads or whatever in their psyches, and the message didn't get through or whatever. But and then also, I think that some people rush to their own defense as opposed to just being like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, ultimately, I'm hurting somebody or several somebodies or screwing up their life. And like, my boner shouldn't ruin your career. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, even though I think my boner's pretty important, it doesn't need to like determine your livelihood and well-being and whether or not you can feed your children and shit. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
But that's what needs to be, it needs to be taught at an early age that you're going to, once the hormones kick in and once your testosterone levels get to a certain place, you're going to be a fucking animal. But this is how you conduct yourself in polite society. But I don't know if that's different now, but I never had those conversations when I was a kid. It was always about you're going to go to school, you're going to get a job, and then you're going to meet someone. It's going to be a woman because you're going to have kids. Yeah. And it was all that sort of shit.
It's going to be a woman because that's what you've said.
Yeah.
And you're like, going to have children. And
there's no conversation about, you might want to have children, but the person you meet might not want to. And seeing that you're going to get a woman, like they're gifted to you. And it's,
of course, because they are objects. I mean, the conversation hasn't been had of like, you know how, you know, women are people, but you kind of think that they're just slightly less of a person. They're not. They're actually people. And like, it's taken us a long time as a society to even say that. And we're still having trouble saying that. But as a result of all of that, you know, there's certain stuff, messaging that you're getting that just reinforces the fact that they're slightly less people because we can show more of their bodies without any of their agency, or because, you know, like there's just all these little messages because, you know, like mom tells her to do one thing and tells me I can do five other things, you know? Mm. And like that thing needs to start from early on because everything else is built on top of that, you know?
Yeah.
I think that like as women, we've been able to start talking about like, yeah, actually it is weird when I think about the way that I was raised and what I was told to do with my body myself,
yeah,
what I was told to be responsible for other people's actions that then compelled me to act in a certain way because I had to be responsible for both of us, you know? And there's just a lot of extra weight and stuff, you know, and some of it feels like, oh, it's just, you know, well, once you get a period, this is the whole handbag that you have to carry with it of being responsible for other men's, you know, fucking sexual feelings about you and their emotional feelings if you reject those sexual advances and, you know, like whatever, justifying the things that they do to you without losing your job and your standing, like all of that stuff. I think that that has to be taught early. I mean, I was talking to a friend who's kind of like become a stepmom to a teen, a girl, who's talking about like all of the horrible things that guys say in her school and the teachers just look the other way while they're like dropping racial epithets or saying disgusting things about girls and whatever. And she's like, yeah, I'm not really attracted to any of those guys. I'm like, of course, why would you be? You can see how they treat just human beings. Like, how could you ever trust that guy to like ever want to get you off, treat you with respect, not like, you know, finger you and then tell all of his friends, you know, like all of the other thing. Like, why would you ever be turned on by that? And like these guys are like, you know, 15 now, you know, like in this society that where we're so aware now, where like we aren't like basically education has a lot to answer for. But I mean, how much can you blame it when we give it 0 pounds to like function, you know? Yeah. So it's just like all of the stuff that we are struggling with now goes back to the ways that we were uneducated or miseducated about them earlier. And we're not correcting those problems.
No. Again, it comes back to the system. Everything comes back to the system. And it goes back as far as parenting as well. People don't put the effort in when it comes to parenting their children. You know, I've got two lads. They're adults now. They know not to sexually assault or molest anyone. And that just took some plain old decent parenting. You know, I've not been great in my life, but when it comes to my sons, I've done a pretty good job. And that's all it took was to educate the boys. And you know.
So when you were parent, like, I know you were parenting them their whole lives, but was this about like, we're going to sit down and have a talk? Or was this about like catching them in the middle of certain behavior and being like, no, we got to correct this and deal with this now? Or was it like pointing at examples of things that you were seeing in media or on the street in real life and being like, so this is what you don't do and this is why you don't do it? Like, how do you feel like you were able to most effectively get that message across to them? Or did it just have to be repeated a bunch of times in the way that you modeled behavior for them or called certain things out?
It was a lot of different stuff. There was, you know, there was, cause I split up with their mum when they were very young. So they were aware of other relationships and so they'd ask questions about that. Like, where did you meet? And so from the conversations you'd have with the boys, you know, you didn't have to turn around and go, right, listen, don't rape women. But they could glean from what you were saying, what you meant. Mm-hmm. And then there was my youngest came in one day and he showed me this, awful video on his phone of, which turned out to be two girls, one cup, which I didn't know.
Oh, God.
I'd heard of it. Exactly. So I'd heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of it. I never saw it because I was like, okay, I kind of get from the title what that is.
Yeah, I don't need to see that. I didn't need to see it, didn't want to see it. But then he came in, look at this, Dad, it's disgusting. And I'm like, it was like half a second in and I'm like, you did get that off your phone. And then from that, we had a conversation.
Yeah, we got to pull this car over.
Wait. Right, come here, listen. Yeah. And it wasn't until ages later, someone else told me about this film. And they told me a bit, and I just went, oh,
is it the two girls sitting on the sofa? And they went, yeah, yeah, yeah. I went, oh my God. That's what that was. That was on my son's phone. And then it, So it's a mixture. It's a mixture of going out of your way to say something, or you're putting them up on behavior. It's all different stuff, but you make that effort, and you know,
and whereas that's such a minefield, because you're kind of like, well, you know, like it's like talking about like, you know, like you've got to talk about your relationship, his relationship to like porn. Why does it exist? Why are people passing it around? You know, like, okay, these women are doing sex work. Is that good? Is that bad? I mean, shouldn't have any, you know, like, I mean, they're working, but it's like not their fault, but also we shouldn't be passing it around. But also this doesn't actually teach you respect for women. And maybe this isn't, you know, very, very mindfully made and, you know, especially these days, as aware as we are of like every aspect of it, there's like a lot. And I guess there's only so much you can, I mean, just from doing some work in education, there's like only so much, and just knowing myself, there's only so much you're going to get at any one time. You know, you kind of have to keep building and layering on a thing, but like, dude, it's a lot. I don't envy any parent who has to raise kids now.
Yeah. It'd be awful. I mean, we had to deal with, all we had to deal with was the odd pieces of pornography that you might find somewhere.
That were literally physical. Deep.
Yeah.
You know, yes. That were magagazines or a VHS cassette.
And they only got passed around because there was only a few of them. There was no.
Exactly. Until so somebody ruined the fucking tape. And then there you go. You know?
I didn't even realize that women watched pornography until very late. That was when I was, when I was married. I look at that.
I mean, I guess I don't know. In my experience, not always to the same extent. But then again, you know, that's like a hormonal thing. Like, you know, I know that when I'm a certain part of my cycle, there's more testosterone going on, and I'm like, let's see what's going on over at my old friend Pornhub. You know what I mean? Whereas like the rest of the month, I am not thinking about what's happening over there. And then suddenly I'm like, you know, and I think it like part of it is just chemistry of like, I want to see some images and feel a certain way. And this is great, you know, but I mean, I had a dad, so I just found his, that's how, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, you didn't do a very good job of hiding this. It was just in a drawer in the bureau, like, duh.
Yeah, just lying around.
Like, did you even try? You know what I mean? Like, come on. You know, we're like fairly young. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, 10 years old or something like that. I'm just like, dude, you think a kid's not going to open a drawer? Like, what? Just because it's not the top one? Like, what?
Yeah. We're going to snoop around, Dad. You got to make an effort.
Yeah,
man.
You're at work all day, plus the commute. We're not. We're definitely snooping. Like, please, get a lockbox.
Yeah. That's definitely, you're right, though. I know I got, a few years ago, I was really depressed, so I got into porn. In a terrible way, but just that I wasn't even doing anything. I was just looking at it.
Isn't that the worst when you're like, I've wasted hours now just looking at segments of videos. Like I haven't even touched myself at this point. Like this is just, what are we doing? Like it's not even like a Netflix binge. Like it's not,
it's
like
just nothing. Yeah. No nutritional value.
Every so often
value.
You come across like a good one where you're like, wow, that was actually like a quality porn. Like I feel like everyone got paid and respected each other. And, like there was non-traditional bodies. That was cool, you know, but mostly it's just fucking garbage, you know?
Yeah. I know. It's just, absolutely. What, God. Yeah, there's a lot of,
And you're like, oh my God, what time is it? It's 3 a.m.
I'm going to be so tired. I've got to be up at 7. Yeah. Wasted my time.
No excuse. And then the wank that you have is like the shamiest wank, you know? Like it's just the worst. Like where you're like, I can't just clear history, close the laptop.
I know. And even the orgasm's like, come on, man.
Yeah. It's really? Like quick and fast. And then you're like, no one look at me. It's the worst.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I've done need to do this again.
Yeah. I guess I got that over with.
Yeah. Fast forward 12 hours. I'm like, this again? Come on, man. Fuck's sake. But I admire, like Jade will say, like, she'll be like, I haven't come in ages. I'm like, how have you not? She's like, I just don't think about it. I've been busy. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it is a thing. Yeah. It is a thing where it's like there are times when you just don't think about it. You're busy and it's not And, you know, I like, I think that there's the chemical biology, like the chemistry, and then there's the biology of like, if I had to hold my dick every day or look at it to like pee and do stuff, I'd probably think about it more. But because everything's like tucked away, I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, I've been busy. I don't know. I mean, it's not giving me any problems, so it's fine. Until suddenly, like, then I'm thinking about it a lot more, you know, and it really, for me, usually coincides with like, you know, hormonal things. But, you know, yeah just... Don't even think about it, which I know is weird.
But it seems to be, Jade and I talked about this earlier, about it seems to be all, because men, we are, when as soon as testosterone gets out of control and the hormones are kicking in or whatever else is happening and all the chemicals are raging inside of us, it seems to be that all the decisions men make are geared towards somehow getting sex somewhere, having sex somewhere, something sexual. Even like the most successful men in the world, like, oh yeah, and then I'll get this, I'll be so successful, and then all the women will come, and then I'll be able to have all the sex. Yeah. And just seems to be on every level.
It's so funny to me because, like, while guys are in that pursuit, like, literally everything else comes second, like, including logic or, like, any sense at all. And then immediately after, they're like, oh, I got to be at work in 5 hours. Like, just like I've been proposed to on multiple occasions while a guy's been trying to, you know, and I'm just like, what are you doing? And then later it's just like, I can't get a return text. Like, you know,
but, you know, it's true.
The difference in the before and after.
Honestly, when men are in the zone, there's no talking you down. And I've been guilty of this. I've been saying all manner of stuff to go.
Yeah, a guy gave me his car. He was just like, no, you take it. Because he was super drunk. He's like, I don't even need it. Take it. I don't even care. Whatever. I'm gonna see you tomorrow anyway. We're going to get married. Gave me his fucking car. Looking at this fool in the rearview mirror like, did he just give me his car as I'm driving myself back to where I stay? Like, just crazy shit. And then the next day I wake up to like 25 missed calls as he woke up and was like, so are you going to call me back? Where's my car? And I was like, yeah, dipshit. I drove myself home after we hung out. You know, your car's in the parking lot.
Because you're a stupid fucking idiot.
We're not getting married. And yeah, when do you want to come pick it up?
Yeah.
Like,
It's true. It is. I remember. So I read. I can't remember who said it, but they said when their sex drive sort of wore off a bit, it was like being unchained from a madman.
Yeah,
I've definitely been guilty of it when I was younger, that an attractive woman being amongst everybody and you're trying to make, it's not till later on I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I was doing that. There was a girl that was with her. She's like, all you did all night was like trying to put yourself in her vision, in her eye line so she could notice you. I'm like, no, I never. She's like, you did, you fucking idiot.
It's like, right. I've got the CCTV footage. Yeah. You want me to roll it back?
There you go. There, fucking peacock.
Literally.
Look at your
peacock
state of you. You might as well have your dick in your hand, you fucking animal.
Oh my God.
But I still get blown away by the people that still, like, I see this all the time. You know, the sliding into DMs and asking for pictures of feet and I'm like, and it's relentless. It's relentless.
Yeah, and you're just like, what are you doing? I guess that are my only sort of way of even, like, I can understand that from a distance only, I think, because of like the thing that can frequently happen to us in the lead up to bleeding of just being like, you know, like when you're having all of these very real and founded feelings about things that like definitely are like, I'm very upset about that and I'm very sad or I'm very angry. And then like, then you bleed and you go like, oh, you know, like you kind of go like, I guess hormones were playing a part in that. Like, yeah, I probably would have that same reaction to that thing, but not to the extent that reaction was overpowering or all consuming or whatever. And then you go like, yeah, hormones are a hell of a drug, you know?
Yeah. And that's what this is all the things that need to be talked about more. The fact that rather than teaching us out, like Jade using an example of, you know, she doesn't know how to pay her taxes, but she knew how to grow cress out of cotton wool. You know, there's this mad shit that, that weird English thing that they teach us when we were kids. And that, we're going to teach you all you need to know about Hitler.
Yeah, but here's how to grow Crest. You're like, go to the Tesco across the street. What are you talking about?
This is it. So they were teaching us all this, just this bollocks. There's a lot of old shit, but they don't really teach you how to deal with the like you said, the chemistry set that is going off inside you on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know,
or just to be awareness usually is the beginning of any kind of change, just to go like, this also happens. And like, to be aware of something without being ashamed of it, like,
yes,
it's hugely powerful to be like, yes, having this testosterone means I feel like I'm chained to a madman. And every time, like, I see a girl I fancy, I just feel like consumed by a desire to do something, because it's like, you're not an animal. You know, like, we are all animals. So that's going to happen. But just being able to go like, that is happening. Like, it's a kind of thing that like, if you ever do any sort of like, you know, I definitely had a lovely experience with hallucinogens in college. Like, it was like a beetle for a semester with a group of my friends. But like, one of those things that like, people were like, oh, you had a bad trip. And you're like, okay, yeah, sure. But like, the thing that always rescues you from that is the awareness of like, this is a drug. It will wear off.
Yes.
Right. So all I need to do is be present here, try to take care of myself, be mindful, survive. Right.
Yeah.
Same with chemicals. Right. Same with the sort of hormones. Like, you know, this is a drug. It will wear off. I as long as I don't make any very stupid, like drastic, illogical decisions, you know, I can just wait for it to pass or try to enjoy it or, you know, do something with it. But like, you know, there's still some part of your right mind that can, your consciousness, your whatever, that can step outside and go like, this is a thing that's happening to me right now. And I can at least understand that and apply that perspective to what I do next, as opposed to being like, this is everything and this is the profound and one and only truth.
If we have sex, it'd be the most sex anyone's ever had. This is it.
Really? You're sure you're not going to come in 5 minutes because the buildup has been so huge? You're sure about that?
And then you're going to go, whoa, oh, where's my car?
I just like, whoa, where's my car?
And that's all men. That's fucking all of us. So I'm telling you, all the men listening to this, it's you, it's me, it's all of us. And that's how we get to the bottom of this. That's how we sort this shit out. Is admitting it, man. Admitting what you're capable of and dealing with it.
You know, and just, I mean, and also just like taking that, it really is just seconds to like stop in that moment, you know, where everything is crazy, just to stop. And go like, what is this? Like, you know, it doesn't mean you have to stop doing what you're doing. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but just to like stop in that moment and kind of check in, be present, because half the time you go like, oh yeah, that's not a thing I want to be involved in.
Exactly.
Before you let yourself get carried away, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Knowing that, well, mind you, the people that we're hearing about in our industry just thought they would get away with it. You know,
I mean, and every time that they did, it made them think they could get away with more.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, at least I'm glad we are making the changes. I mean, it's late, but the next generation of people will benefit from these changes. You know, at least we're making that start, I guess. So
let's hope, you know, I mean, those changes, like, it definitely has to work its way up, because there's definitely people with a lot more power who need to kind of like be exposed for what that held.
Absolutely.
You know, that we catch it a little bit earlier next time before people are, you know, and a little bit earlier the time after that. Cause like, you know, I think that it's weird because change is both like, you know, tectonic shifts and then like, you know, these slow gradations, you know, it's like the iceberg melts like, you know, like a little by little and then breaks all at once at the same time, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. As long as we keep trying, I think that's the.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. As long as you don't stop trying.
Yes.
Like that's. Yeah. Because otherwise, why the fuck are you still here on the planet?
Exactly.
Like you got to a place, you're like, yeah, I'm good. This is it. This is all that ever happens. Like, okay, well then leave. You know what I mean? Like,
bye.
Everything on this world is about like change, development, growth. If you're done, then peace. Yeah. You know.
I've said this before, and that's where people seem to think, because they always think there's a destination. They're like, oh, if I do good things, I'll end up with this good stuff. You're like, no, You just do your best you can in your life, and then one day you're not here anymore. But what will happen is people that were around you would have learned something from you, maybe like your kids or something, and then they carry that on to the next generation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's how the change happens. And I mean, also they believe that because someone wanted them to believe that, because that's how we all are brainwashed and mind controlled in our education. Do you know what I mean? Like
we're
taught to think about things in a certain way because it serves like a greater purpose for like those five rich pedophiles to like ultimately extract what they want out of all of us. Right. Yeah. You know, they don't want us to know that we have like a history and self-respect and connectedness, and that, you know, like it's not about like you're gonna raise yourself out of this if you do good things. It's like, you know, they don't want you to be like, hey, the system's rigged and here's all the history of how it's been rigged for all these different people and it's all pretty much the same schematics, go, you know what I mean?
They don't want you to look at the old man behind the curtain. That's
literally, because he's the old man and he's brought a kid behind the curtain with
and
him,
he's masturbating.
Like,
come on, man. Oh, this has been amazing, Desiree. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're amazing to speak to. I just could talk to you all day, but I won't because you got a life. Thank you for having me, though. This was really wonderful.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.